Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Christy Wowardy Dowardy.
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the bird.
Just saying. Okay.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Susie going toe-to-tobin.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Ashley Savoni. She don't take no baloney.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers. Kelly Grant, the Grandmaster.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
The incredible, edible Matthews sisters.
Andrea, get your ducks in a row, Blaze.
And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me on this wonderful, wonderful day, fresh from a polo match, Ronnie Karam, also from the Rose Pricks Bachelor Podcast. What's going on?
Threw a polo match for myself so I would win it. Stand how I play games, little girl.
Ronnie, I am really excited because I literally just finished watching Southern Charm like 10 minutes ago. And at the end was a preview for the season finale, which looks like it could be one of the greatest Southern Charm episodes of all time. It was just astounding. And the thing is that it's actually not going to air next week because of July 4th and everything, which means that the Bravo gods are smiling down upon Kansas City because we will be recapping this epic, epic Southern Charm finale. Kansas City, and then the day night
live
before,
in Kansas City, there's going to be a lot of gloves and hair flicking.
Exactly. Yeah, and then the night before we'll be in St. Louis, and we'll be talking about Real Housewives of New York, which is just always iconic every single episode. So if you're in Missouri, if you're in St. Louis, Kansas City, or just around those in states nearby, and just feel like coming to see one of our live shows, please come. They're going to be great. We're going to be talking about these two amazing, amazing shows. Go to watchacrappens.com for tickets. You'll just trust us. It's going to be great.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
Excited. I'm rested up now since our last trip.
Me too. I think I'm finally like through the worst of it with the food poisoning, etc., with the Guy Fieri sandwich food poisoning. So I'm like ready to attack life all over again. Do you have any t-shirt
updates?
I'm ready
to rumble, people. No, not yet. Not till next week.
Okay. That's fine. Well, suckers. Anyway, if you want to buy merch, just also go to watchcrappens.com and click on that shop tab.
Yeah, two more days to get. What's the matter? What's going on? What's happening? What the hell?
Yeah, Ronnie brought me mine yesterday, and it is so cute, and I'm so excited to wear it.
We're going to have a whole closet full of shirts by the end of the year.
We certainly will. But why don't we move on to Southern Charm? Because, you know, we got it.
Let's do her.
Let's get on our polo helmets and hop on the proverbial horse that is our recap.
What boots do I wear? What do I even wear? I've never even ridden a horse.
So the episode opens up with Thomas on his horse, which is fun. And then we see Catherine hanging pictures, which I thought that was, for some reason, that really cracked me up because I can imagine it was like the entire day's activity. It was like,
Well, Catherine has proven to be a good mother the way she's erming up those pictures over there in the house. First, she took Christmas photos with the children, and now she's erming up some pictures. Hammer. It's like an erm and a nail, or erm and a hammer.
I always knew she'd turn into a level-headed lady. I just didn't realize she'd actually turn into a lady that uses a level. I'm very proud of her.
Yes, and I do have to point out that Cameron has already become that mom, because in the previously, she's like, previously, I had a baby. We know, shut up. Okay, yeah, so Catherine's hanging pics, and she's like, perfect. And then Shep is adding butter into what looks like grits, which I find out later is bad, but it's like a stick.
I thought it was a stick full of butter. Yeah, he's like, no, well, but then he goes, ah, oh, I forgot the butter. Panko! Jesus, but this is
there
bad.
Was so much butter. There was like a thing of butter lying on the top, which basically means Shep may not know how to cook, but he knows how to make delicious food. I mean, carbs and a stick of butter and panko crumbs. I'm in.
Yeah, I liked where it was going. It seemed very, you know, it seemed very focused.
Yeah, I've never really gotten the whole Shep thing. When people are like, oh my God, he's so cute. I'm like, no, he's like 3 day old Garsh. But when I saw that, I was like, I'm in. Cook for me, sir.
I see his cuteness.
Garsh. So then we go over to Craig's house where he's drinking green Kool-Aid.
Oh, man. He's like, well, it's the closest thing to Ecto Cooler, but, you know, he's been trapped up in the Ghostbusters vault for some years now.
It's like his kryptonite juice. He's so sad from being dumped with his pillow dumping.
Well, I think this is made of flubber, so I'm hoping it's going to help me out.
Flubber. Craig is a nutty professor. He's playing all the people in his family around a dinner table. He's just the same as all of them. He's like, Hercules, Hercules, Hercules.
Hercules.
So he's like, what do I want to make? And Craig is one of those people to find a hot. This is what I do too. So this is where my judgment comes from. It's judging myself. Because I'm like, I'm going to play a piano. And then I just start buying pianos off Amazon before I ever know how. And he's doing that with arts and crafts. He has this like big telephone looking thing with like suckers at the end so he can lift stuff. I'm like, what do you even do with that?
Yeah, I wasn't sure what was happening. I thought maybe he was doing some sort of like heat transfer onto the pattern. But I wasn't sure. It could have literally been an old like telephone headset, and like he just, you know, crafted it up to look like something more exciting than it was. He just like, look, I'm gonna put a piece of a telephone on glass and call it art.
Yeah, he's like not really understanding what it is because he's like too young to know what a landline is.
Yeah.
So he's making a pillow with this thing. It's so archaic.
This archaic device to get patterns onto the fabric. Turns out it's really hard to use with one, when you have one hand at a different archaic device. Aw, Sean. A little help.
Sean.
Sean.
Jesus Christ, man.
You know, to me, deadlines are arbitrary a lot of the times. And, like, if Patricia had given me one more night, I could have had a badass concept for her.
She like, would have had one badass pillow line, that's for sure.
Craig, I don't think it's going to go from zero to badass in one night's time, because you've already had 2 months.
Clip art doesn't grow, you know what I mean? It's not like a flower.
Maybe if she had seen that old clip art Victorian finger that points like, here you go, maybe she would have liked that.
He goes, but... Well, I guess it was about the quote-unquote principle.
Yeah, what are those?
Principle. Principle was the 15 grand you gave to JD for his business that you lost. Okay, when are we going to get to that storyline? When is JD going to be dragged for stealing everybody's money on this show?
He's being smart. He's keeping a low profile this season. He probably thought he was going to just be like, wah, here I am, season 5 or 6, whatever season it is. And then like... You cheated on Elizabeth. Wah! See you later!
I got things to do. Wow! So next we go over to Shep and Cameron at Shep's house. And Cameron's like, God, I haven't been here the whole season. I need to bitch out everybody about nothing. So she's like making the rounds.
Yeah. So she shows up. She's like, well, Shep, I brought you some Febreze and more Febreze and some Lysol. Okay. Wow, the house looks good. Oh, yeah? Yeah!
If you like plastic furniture and things that don't match with each other, it's very chic. You smell. I brought you some handy wipes, some antibacterial gel. I had a baby.
I'm trying to make meatballs, Garsh. Will you help me? This is harder than wading through a rice paddy in the Vietnam War, which I'm very educated about, thanks to Ken Burns. Garsh.
I'm making meatballs because I read about them in my Vietnam War book. Can't wait to try these These are Vietnamese meatballs. Whoa, gosh.
These are Madame Wu's favorite meatballs. Gosh.
I love that Cameron's even mad at the internet. She's just like snooty about everything. She's like, what is this? Craftsy.com? What is that? It teaches you? Ew.
Well, isn't...
Gross.
I meant to say Madame Nu, not Madame Wu. But by the way, isn't Crafty, isn't that owned by, like, Comcast also? Like, because Crafty showed up a lot during Summer House. And Summer House, they were like, hey, dudes, let's, like, make a margarita. I got something better for you, gents. Why don't we make a margarita bar with Crafty? Yeah.
You know, they really earned that advertising money, like nail gunning shit together in the backyard. Chef's like, I made meatballs. Where's my money?
Well, Cameron, she's really not smooth with her, like, product placement. She goes, what's this? Craftsy.com? Is this a site that tells you how to cook with all sorts of easy instructional videos and know-how and tabs and printable resources?
Is this a website that doesn't treat you like an idiot and just teaches you at your own pace with 11 million videos and 19,000 flow charts?
Oh, look, it has an app, too. I'm going to follow its Instagram account, Crafts at Craftsy.
I wish I could get this free for 30 days.
Oh, look, guess what, Shep? I just created my own promo code, and you can use it right now.
I know. I'm so sad that Craig didn't get to use Craftsy. Like, if anybody needs it, give it to Craig. He took 2 months and a day and still didn't have a bill.
He's like Craftsmatic-y.
But yeah. He's like, I'm Sleep Memory. So they have...
Oh my god, Ma. Oh my god, something's happening. The world's tilting. Oh wait, it's my Craftmatic adjustable bed moving up.
Well, at least we don't have to look at yellow faces, because they have not gotten privd. They've been crafty. Craftseed. Because there was a commercial right after this scene. It was like, hi, it's Craftseed! And then everybody across America was like, where have I heard of that before? I think I have a friend who made meatballs off that website once. Okay, Craftsy. You're really crafty, Craftsy.
Didn't Craftsy also invaded Restaurant Wars on Top Chef, I believe. They were like, well, this season, if you want to make a restaurant, Craftsy's going to help. Here's Pam, and she's got some twigs.
Yeah, that is so Food Network. Here's some sticks. Now cook something.
No, it's Top Chef. It's Top Chef.
Oh, Top Chef. Sorry. I misheard you.
Oh dear. Oh Gail, those twigs are for decor. No, they're not swizzles. Oh well, it's too late now. Bless her heart.
Top Chef comes to Charleston. Hello, Miss Patricia. Gail, that's potpourri. You're not supposed to eat that, Gail.
Gail, that's not seasoning. Stay out of Patricia's potpourri. I'm so sorry, but she is adorable. Bless her heart.
Did you mean to stab yourself with a butter knife?
Did you mean to get your hand in an archaic device, Gail?
Poor Craig. He is one of those guys on Top Chef who's like, I just don't get it. How did I lose?
I guess timing was really my issue. I was really close to finishing my cake. I just needed one more night.
I wasn't thinking about time. I guess it's about the principle.
I kind of feel like cooking times are sort of arbitrary. Like, just give me one more night, steak, and then you'd be cooked perfectly.
Thank God Craig isn't in a cooking habit thing now, like a cooking obsession. Because Craig would totally be the type to, like, serve you chicken ahi, you know?
I don't even know what that is. Is it, like, seared raw chicken? So I often have an issue with chicken being too dry, so what I like to do is I like to leave it raw in the middle but sear it on the outside. Bon appetit.
So Cameron is just going after Shep this whole time because she's got a lot of, you know, time to make up. So she's like, I'll help you with that apron. Are you gaining weight? I feel love handles. And he's like, can you handle that? Gosh.
Did you mince that garlic? I don't mince words, and I don't mince garlic. Gosh, witticism.
And Cameron's like, well, I had a baby. But, you know, I still have to have my own life, because babies are like little parasites, and you're their personal assistant, which I've never heard it said better, I have to say.
What a low place to be when you're an assistant to a parasite. It's harsh. Harsh.
Yeah. So then we see Shep's ass crack, which was even in the teaser. So I guess we were all waiting for that one.
Yeah, that was exciting. And she's just at, like, peak browbeating. She's like, everything. She's like, Shep, do you even know what a spoon is? Shep, do you know where the floor is and the ceiling is? You know the difference between the Shep.
Shep, open your mouth. You can't breathe. There you go.
Yeah. But he's, like, sitting there, like, he's holding, like, raw meat and just, like, playing patty cake with every appliance and wall and countertop. Shep, you can't touch everything with raw meat, Shep. Gosh, but I want salmonella.
She's like, they may have had to teach me how to cook one time without Crafty, but at least I'm not a goddamn idiot. So then they moves on to Craig, because Shep can take her abuse. He's just like, that was cold. Oh, you want a hug, Garsh? So she moves on to Craig. She's like, has Craig in his stupid hand, his butter knife, idiot. And he's like, he's great. He made out with a chick. Austin had to beg him to do it. And then we see this clip of Austin being like, God, Craig won't make out with this girl unless I play Kiss the Girl from Little Mermaid on a loop.
I can't help it. That little crab is so persuasive.
And then it cuts to Craig smiling like, yeah.
I just want to be part of her world. What do you call it? Forks.
I just combed my hair with a fork. So I'm ready for it. I'm ready to date again. So then Shep, of course, is like, oh, I just made meatballs. I'm going to pour a whole bottle of ragu on top. It's kind of distorts the point.
I know. He poured the...
Did they not have any next up videos on Craftsy? I mean, what's going on?
And like, I mean, you know, like, you know, jarred tomato sauces can be perfectly tasty, but I think usually you want to kind of like cook the, like heat it up or something. You don't just like pour it straight on top, do you?
No.
Shepsy. I'll go to Shepsy.com and find the answer.
Shepsy.com. You get halfway through something and it just quits. It's like every man on this cast.
And then it just goes, what can I say? I'm not your typical 39-year-old. And then your computer just turns black.
And Cameron's like the most boring Ursula ever. She's like, you poor unfortunate soul. So Shep, of course, it's like, okay, the season's almost over. Let's bring these storylines, right? These fresh new storylines around. He's like, I know you want me to find a girl, but I don't want you to worry about me. It's like, oh, we get it. You're single. You want to be single. No one cares.
Yeah, it's been like 5 years. We know it's not going to happen, so that's fine. It's fine.
Okay. Let's move on. Just masturbate. Like, it's fine. So Shep's like, oh, gosh, should I just marry Catherine? Which is like, just let that be your proposal, please. Yeah. I'm bored. I don't want to do anything. And I just used a bottle of ragu on meatballs. Want to get married?
Okay. So now we cut to ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. And it's Patricia ringing her butler bell, which is one of my favorite haughty acts on all of Bravo.
Yes, that bell. And I love that she rings it until he comes in.
Yeah. Well, I can't be certain that he hears it until he's actually standing in front of me.
It's like, ding-a-ding. Someone came to my door to have me sign some political bullshit the other day, and this is how she knocked on my door. Knock, 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 until I came to the door. And I opened the door in my underwear because I was trying to take a nap. And I said, what the fuck do you think you're doing? Get the fuck out of here. And I slammed the door on her face.
Good.
And I was like, you've really turned into a monster. And it felt great. I was fine with it.
Well, what? Tell me about this person. What did they look like? What were they trying to do? Like,
she was a girl with frizzy, dry perm and a big sun hat and one of those notebooks, one of those note things with a clipboard with a pencil. And I know it was a political thing because I think I've seen her in front of the Whole Foods. You know how when you come out of Whole Foods, they go, do you care about children?
Yeah. No, actually.
And I'm like, no, no, I don't.
Yeah.
It's like such an offensive way to ask you.
I know.
And if I'm still so mad about that knock. I'm sorry to even bring
it up. Oh, I'd be furious.
I've been furious for days.
You were napping. It's not fair.
Yeah. No. Like, who knocks like that? That is the rudest way.
I'm call the police.
That's how to turn me into a Republican real quick. Okay, call. You come to my door, like, with your Democratic needs knocking like that.
Well, sometimes we Democrats need to knock. But it's about reason.
Yeah, knock is normal. But I really thought it was the police. I was like, now what did I do? You know? Right. So anyway, that's how Pat rings her bell. She's like, ding, 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 ding.
Do you care about children? Ding, 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 ding.
Michael, do you care about children, Michael? Ding, 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 ding.
He's like, yes, I do, ma'am.
So when he comes in, she goes, oh, Michael. Like, you didn't just ring for him for an hour?
Oh, there you are. Thomas is coming over, and he's like, oh, should I go poach some shrimp and butter? She's like, no. I'm like, how often does he jump to that? Like, you can tell she's, like, exhausted. She's like, Michael, I'm a little bored tonight. I'll see about firing up some Netflix. Would you like some shrimp poached and butter? Michael, no, not again.
Michael, I'm going to play some solitaire. Shall I put some shrimp and butter? God damn it, Michael.
You know, Michael, I'm a little hungry tonight, if you know what I'm saying. Oh, would you like some white rice? No, Michael, now's the time for the shrimp and the poach and the butters.
That's usually for solitaire and Thomas, ma'am.
Oh, Michael.
Gosh, it's time to go to a commercial. Oh, Craig.
So I can't stop staring at that huge bowl of potpourri behind Patricia now. That's all I
and
see.
And a big feather pen. It's like a Vegas showgirl in pen form.
So Thomas comes in and he's like, I'll have what they refer to as the Hamptons Gatorade. Is it the Hamptons?
Yeah, I think it was hard to hear, but I think he said Hamptons. And Patricia's like, what's that? Michael's like, is that shrimp poached in butter by any chance?
Thomas is like, this is fishy butter. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. It's the Hamptons Gatorade. It's shrimp poached in butter, and the Gatorade part is the butter. It's in the glass.
We got a Vitamix.
So Patricia's like, well, Michael and I just finished invites for the ball. You'll get one. Considering you behave between now and then. The men will wear tails and a different kind of vest, and women come in gowns. No cocktail attire.
And there will be shrimp poached in butter. Michael.
Michael, I'm sending you back to the coop if you keep repeating yourself. Sorry, ma'am. I'm sorry, ma'am.
You send him to Costco once. He comes back with 45 pounds of frozen shrimp, and this is what you get.
Please don't send me back there.
It was too amazing for me.
The bargains are just too great, ma'am.
Have you ever had a veggie burger? Mm. Yes, Michael, yes.
So you know when you get old and fat?
Yes.
And you buy polyester pants or something?
Yeah.
You know, it's like church pants, and they're like, your stomach is going under the pants.
Yes.
That's what Thomas's nuts look like at this point. He's basically like a nut fupa.
Yeah, that's what Thomas is like. Look at those big old nuts in those small ass pants. Yeah, he has a nut fupa for sure. Like, his nuts have migrated above his dick and are now just like making googly eyes in his fupa area.
Yeah, I feel like he's just putting those like beanbag things that you throw under there. And I don't even know what he's doing, but apparently in his mind it looks really good. But you need to stop. You need to stop, sir. You're terrifying Dom on the couch.
Yeah, it's too much for him. So he's like, well, I'm going to have a polo match because I want to get out of polo. It's just getting too dangerous. And I just want to have one last hurrah. I'm just going to have one last hurrah, polo hurrah before I retire from it. Nothing could possibly go wrong. And then he gets, like, shot in the face.
Well, I've never approved of polo because the word po is in it.
And low.
Speaking of, how's Ashley?
Speaking of things you want to hit with a mallet, how's Ashley? Speaking of divots of dirt you need to put under your feet, how's Ashley?
Speaking of cow patties, how's Ashley? We weren't talking about cow patties.
That are one letter away from a deadly disease that'll take children's ability to walk away from them. How's Ashley?
He's like, well, it's been some pressure. I've been under pressure to give up polo. And then they cut to the dad, and he's like, now, Thomas, if we have to put you in the ground, who's going to be there to raise those children? It's like, maybe the mother who doesn't have a felony.
Yeah, maybe that. Maybe, like, everyone else who has been raising their children all this time.
You a-hole. So Thomas is, let me see.
So Thomas like, well, is talking about Ashley.
Yeah, Pat's like, well, she did come to me. I think she's having a hard time.
Yeah. She's gone to literally every single person in Charleston. She's practically just like chasing down Shoppers and Gwen's, being like, oh, well, you know, it's just things that we sort of hit, sort of pump the brakes a little bit, like Thomas and I, like, it's been a little bit of a rough patch. I mean, if you just get a party, like, ma'am, I don't know who you are. I'm trying to get a maxi dress.
This is my voice. My voice is like this because we've pumped the brakes. Oh.
And he goes, well, if she were focused on something other than my enormous fupa that you can currently see trying to get out of these wide jeans I'm wearing,
then maybe I'd be more attracted to her. I mean, like, they're not totally off base. I mean,
yeah, they're right.
She is. I mean, she's doing nothing. She's just there to obsess over him. I mean, she's there for the money. And so, like, she needs to have a life because she's going crazy, honestly. It's making him crazy. And it's also sort of to prove that she's not in it just to be a gold digger.
But she basically says she is there.
She is. Because
he says, and then I asked her, why are you even with me? What do you see in me? And she's like, you're a good provider. Oh, my voice. This is stressful.
Patricia's like, and that translates into, you've got money.
Yeah, honey, listen. Well, no job, no interests, no friends, just hanging out in an apartment that Thomas pays for. The word that comes to mind is gold digger. Michael's like, oh, I thought you were going to say shrimp poached in butter. Darn it. Almost got it.
Now, I ain't saying she's a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no Craig.
Right? I ain't saying she's a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no what a buffalo hair. She is, actually. I'll take it back.
So she's like, well, I think my advice is to make a commitment or cut a ding, 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 ding. So next up, it's a Craftsy ad.
Which I totally missed. I'm happy about that. And then we go to Shep and Catherine sitting on a dock in the bay. Shep's like, gosh, look, I got corn dogs. Oh, be careful. My hands still have raw meat on them. Oh, enjoy. And so they're sitting there eating the corn dogs. And it's so funny because I was just about to type, oh, it's so funny that they're sitting there and there's just a crow watching. And I was going to do a whole joke about, like, the crow being like, those motherfuckers got a corn dog. And lo and behold, the crow's like, no, I am taking control of my life. I am manifesting my destiny. I want that corn dog. I am getting that corn dog. And it just goes for the corn dog. And it was amazing.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure what was more disturbing, that crows have gotten that ballsy or that Shep still eats corn dogs from the side. With his mouth open.
I think option number three, that Shep eats corn dogs on the side even after a crow has put its claws on it. Like, that crow, I rewound it 5 times because, you know, I think crows are hilarious, and I think it's hilarious that the crow tried to step to Shep, and it, like, grabbed the corn dog. It tried to steal the corn dog away.
It probably would have. It probably would have gotten it if it hadn't been so grossed out watching Shep eat with his mouth open. The crow's like, fuck it, I'm not touching this thing. That guy's a pig.
And then the crow just goes the other side and just stares at them. Oh my god. That was
the
that
crow's
was a
just like,
gosh.
You need to learn some corn dog manners, sir.
One of these days, maybe these people will stop playing around with corn dogs and bring me some shrimp poached in butter. You know what I'm saying?
I like the idea of whenever we're not seeing Patricia on screen, her spirit is jumping into the nearest animal in a scene. It's like Lance and Manners.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. She's waiting for Michael at the end of the pier. Michael, can I get some corn dogs, please?
Why does that crow have a bell?
Oh, while you're both here, I'm going to be having a ball. Wait, the crow is having a ball? Weird.
Shake your tail feather. Get it, crow gosh.
So they're talking about how Catherine wasn't drunk and stuff. And he's like, well, gosh, we were worried about you. And then he tells us, well, I mean, I did really think that she was on drug and stuff. Because to analyze the present, one must look towards the past.
Oh, such a Shepism. I mean, it's true. I'm not.
It's just he talks like that with a corn dog with the sides eaten out of
it.
Yeah. And that corn dog looks like it was attacked by a zombie.
It was attacked by a crow, which is like really the next like closest thing. He is literally eating a corn dog that a crow touched. At that point, just give it to the crow. I would never touch something
like
that a crow
every
touched.
Skank in town. What does he care? Like, the crow's the safest date he's had all week.
You know that Catherine's staring at him like, listen, like, I know you're not lecturing me, but I really don't need advice from someone who's eating a corn dog that a crow touched.
Well, that's the best thing about all this stuff with Catherine. Everybody who's lecturing her either has a giant martini in their hand or, like, has been to prison or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Or is a crow.
Or is a crow, yeah.
So, the question is Catherine going to go to the polo match? And she's like, well, depression started at the plantation, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, we see these flashbacks to season two when she was stuck there off in the plantation, like, gosh, like that Rochester's first wife in the attic, gosh. Jane Eyre.
Whenever I see that, I think of the American Horror Story season where it took place in New Orleans and there was like plantations and stuff. Yeah. And Kathy Bates was like the ghost of like an old plantation owner who used to just be like so sadistic and terrible. And this whole episode, I keep thinking that because Catherine's like, oh, here's the basement that I lived in when I had the baby. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I mean, she,
Kathy Bates down there.
Yeah, she clearly, season two, was living some sort of, like, low-budget horror movie reality, because...
It was, my
she's
God.
She's alone on a plantation with a new child and an absentee husband. Yeah, that's full-on, that's like Blumhouse Productions right there.
And then when your husband does come home, it's Thomas.
Yeah.
Sounds horrifying.
With so sometimes Chelsea... a JD.
Blah! I'm the ghost of Christmas Chantry!
So Chelsea and Austin are on a date, and you know, look, at this point nobody's buying it, but of course Austin, the second he breaks up with a girl, calls Chelsea, because the second he called that girl was when Chelsea knowed him, like wouldn't bang
that's
him
true out. Yeah, like, exactly,
like, really, he's like a ping pong of rejection, you know?
He really is. So they order some oyster shots, and the bartender's like, okay, here they are, and just so you know, to add a little saltiness, I added some fish sauce. And Chelsea's like, fish sauce smells horrible. And then she does it. She's like, oh my God, Austin, that's yeah. So good.
The waiter's like, look, we've seen you guys here before, so why don't you just let me order for you? I'm going to order the never going to make out with you anyway oyster shots.
and I can provide the shrimp in poached butter. Michael, what are you doing here? sorry.
Oh, it's funny. I just love Michael showing up everywhere. And then Patricia's like a little Patricia's in the squirrel in the body of a squirrel on the bar, just looking like, damn it, Michael.
She's a little ladybug getting tossed around in the margarita machine. Just watch. She's at the glass watching. I can see you.
So Austin is like an independent woman now, because he tells her the story about how Victoria was like, God, you touched your arm or whatever, and then threw a drink at him. Did you see on Instagram that apparently she showed up later and threw a rock through his window and he had to call the police?
I did see that. I think that's really excellent. And I'm surprised that he's actually even protecting her like that. But, you know, gotta have some level of civility around here. Am I right?
Shit is hilarious. Good for you, Victoria. I don't really like you very much, but he was gaslighting you, I feel yeah. like. So good for you with your brick and your windshield or whatever you did.
Go enjoy that soup for yourself.
So he's like, well, I'm telling you this right now. I'm not going to sit there and take some ultimatum from somebody, like mouth moving. And Chelsea's like, yeah, but would you want her hanging out with her ex if she broke up? Yeah.
She's also happens to be sitting on a mechanical bull.
Underwater.
They are basically at Bikini Bottom.
I don't know why I'm so mean to Chelsea. I actually really like Chelsea.
No, Chelsea's great. She's like the most level-headed normal person. I'm surprised she's even on TV.
She talks kind of a lot. So she's like, Austin's like, well, it's done. It's done, which is why I called you. I'm like, that's so flattering, Austin.
Yeah,
really, well, flattering.
He's like, well, I was secure in where we were, and I said we were, because it was the past tense, because it's over. I'm like, ooh, wow, you really dropped the mic on no one who cares. So he's like, what about you, now that you know all about my dating life? What about your dating life, Chelsea? She's like, I just don't care to date. I'm in a safe place. I'm happy. I like going to Willow Salon. That's my dating. And he's like, oh, cool.
concentrating on getting mirrors back up at the salon first. And...
trying to repaint that giant wave mural that no one seems to like except for me.
She's like, womp, womp. And he's like, well, is it that you just hate the Charleston dating scene? No, maybe it's because you guys all suck here, okay? Everybody, yeah. I think that's one thing that everybody on this show can agree on. The guys in this town just suck, okay?
Yeah.
And you guys have it too easy. You don't have to work for anything or work at all, really.
Yeah, exactly. So she's like, you're one of my best friends. And he's like, oh, I'm going to cry. I'm like, okay, you two, you are having a very boring scene right now. We need to fast forward this.
Yeah, I'm going to cry. So he invites her to Winter Wonderland because, like, what are they going to do, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So now Naomi and Chelsea are at a boutique. It's after the commercial break. So they're at the boutique. Naomi's not in her boot anymore, and she has shown up with a kitten that she rescued on the way over there. And the kitten's paralyzed and in a little diaper. And, of course, my heart was like, bing, bing.
Is anybody else getting the feeling that Naomi's just stealing pets at this point?
Yeah, I know. I like the way she said that. Like, she was just walking over there and just, like, scooped up a kitten along the way and put it in a diaper. The cat, you know, it's like Mommy Dead and Dearest. Like, the cat is not even paralyzed back there. She's like, oh, the poor thing. It needs my attention. Like, stop Munchausen by proxy, your cat.
Yeah, she's like, I don't know how it happened, but my cat stabbed itself with a butter knife. Weird.
She's just yelling at the cat like listen, I need you to do, like, you're not the same cat that I fell in love with when I rescued you 5 minutes ago, okay? I need you to go out there and do things, be ambitious. The cat's like, meow, meow.
And she puts a tracker on the cat. So Chelsea's like, whoa, that cat's going through the nipple. She thinks you're the mama of that cat. Oh, I got another friend with the baby.
Chelsea's already crying, like, it's just so beautiful to see a new mama. Hey, how does this big brown shaggy thing look on me? It make me look like a Muppet yet? No? Okay.
Hey, that little kitten make you pay for its beers every time. So then this music is hilarious. It's like,
Trixie's working on some new stuff.
Yeah, what is this? It's like hicky hick music, and then it's Thomas and Ashley driving in silence.
Yeah, and then finally the silence is broken with Thomas going, such a beautiful place, you know, which is like classic Southern, like, we've got nothing to talk about, so let's just talk about nothing.
Yeah, and Ashley just opens up her crazy mouth and has nothing to say, so it's just like ellipses, okay? Yeah. It's like, so, ellipses, green, ellipses, well, I remember, ellipses. If it were up to me, ellipses, this is where I'd spend more time, peaceful, away from the party life, but I guess you're not ready for ellipses, 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 that yet.
Yeah. She goes, it's not as green as I remembered. I'm like, Ashley, it is the fall, okay? Do you not understand these things? Do you not realize that you guys are all buttoned up and that there are Christmas decorations coming up, popping up in the background of these scenes? It is the fall. It is not supposed to be green.
Mm. Wow, this place is wetter than I thought. It's raining.
Wow, this place isn't next door, is it? No, it's literally not next door. So she's like stabbing the car door with, like, she randomly, she seems to have a butter knife herself. She's like stabbing the car door board.
I think it's a vape. I think it's like maybe one of those, like, one of the vapes I buy.
Okay.
Like one of the, and she's just like banging the door, which is like beautifully stitched, by the way. And Thomas, now Thomas is like, it's almost the end of the season. I'll bet they're calling me a drug abuser, woman abuser, rapist. I might as well make myself a victim. So he's like, oh, my life, women have been attracted to me for the wrong things.
Yeah.
I searched out fame. I searched out fortune, thinking I'd be more attractive. But I think I got it backwards.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit backwards. Poor,
oh, Thomas.
Poor Prince Charming. He just can't find his Cinderella, can he?
Who's supposed to... What are the right reasons? Can someone tell me what the right reasons to be with Thomas are?
I think Ashley actually has the right reasons.
Exactly.
Like, we are coming down on Ashley, but she really is the smartest of us all. She's like, look... He has no other good qualities except for the money, and that's just what I'm going to go for. So there we go.
Yeah, at this point, Ashley's like, you have a fupa, so you owe me.
She's really got herself in a twist about Thomas's partying. This has really become a thing for her, sort of out of nowhere. And it's like, girl, what were you expecting? Do you know, like, he's like a 75-year-old playboy, all right? He's going to be partying. So when she says little things like, I like it out here, it's relaxed and away from the party life, but it's probably too boring for you. Like, you're not going to get anywhere. He's still going to party. Yeah,
you met him in a bar.
So. You're not going to shame him into not partying.
Yeah, you're actually kind of rooting for her to be in the basement, you know? Like, it's weird how this show works. It's like, yeah, lock her in the basement.
So they arrive at the plantation, and they see the horses. There's Mad Dog and Vicky and TikTok. I'm like, these names. I mean, I know horses have strange names. I thought it was funny that he has a horse named Vicky. And then also, like, TikTok. I went and named her TikTok because she's like a clock. I thought about calling her Clocky, but TikTok seemed better.
I wanted to call her Secondhand, but... don't buy things that way.
So you're like Ashley's... a clock too, Ashley. I'm gonna call you Cuckoo. Get it?
So she's like, why doesn't she come? Why doesn't TikTok come to me? Why? And she starts banging the door with her vape. And the horse is just like, I'm not coming one step closer to you crazy motherfuckers. Okay, I'm staying back here.
Yeah. She's like, those horses are like, I know, that's the face you see before you get turned into glue. Okay, I'm staying back here.
So it's all awkward, and they're having a sit down and trying to talk, but they're not talking to each other. So it's like a long pause, and then she goes, wow, it'll be so great to see you play Ellipses Polo here. Such a beautiful hair flick place to have a wedding. I'm like, And now Danny Elfman has scored this scene. It's like, it's like, you know, they're little really bells, plastic Glock people whose heads, you know, come off or whatever.
Yeah. So T-Rav, as soon as she says that it's a beautiful, it would be an ideal place to have a wedding, he's like, hey, it's a little chilly in here. I think I'm just going to grab a vest, just grab it, put it around me. Look, we're vest twins. We're both wearing brown vests and warming up a little bit. Okay, we've sufficiently moved on from that last point that you said, which we will not revisit. Great, vest. Am I right? They're yeah, like shirts without sleeves.
Just when you thought they couldn't be more hateful, they are brown shirts. So Thomas is like, well, I see you as a wonderful person with a wonderful career, and that career made you who you are and made me want to bring you here. But now it's like I'm some kind of mayor hand, sugar mayor hand, building a cul-de-sac daddy. Okay, Thomas.
What career? I mean, I know that so Ashley was a hospice nurse, but, like, she doesn't really strike me as someone who's a career woman, okay? Like, I'm not even totally convinced she was a hospice nurse anymore. Now I'm questioning everything about her.
Well, next week, it looks like Austin questions her, and she whips out her, see, it says That's California!
True. That's true. I should take it back, lest I get that thing thrown in my face, too.
Yeah. She'll fly all the way back here just to shove that in your face and be like, see, Ben!
Yeah. So, yeah, so Thomas calls himself a sugar daddy, and then she's like, well, I mean, I want this to succeed. He goes, I do too, babe. She's like, but I just want to change the, I just want to change the energy around here, and I think that if you got a job, you wouldn't be so dependent and needy and clingy and just really inherently awful all the time.
And at least at first she was pretending like she's going to try and get her license and get a job. But she's not. She's like, you say this like I never worked. I hustled. I'm like, and that's, you know, foreshadowing. Mm-hmm. And when you're a nurse, you work, and I'll be working on the weekends, and you'll be out raging. And I don't see how that'll change anything.
I'm like, it seemed, what was interesting there was she kind of pivoted it away. And it's like, yeah, she'll, like, that would, that's, like... Wouldn't that actually be better? Wouldn't you rather him go out and be partying while you're working rather than partying while you're sitting at home?
No, she doesn't want to work.
Yeah.
Because she's like, oh, so everything's going to change just because I have a job. Right. Yeah, right. Like, she's so mad about having to get a job.
Well, she's trying to like, change it on to the fact that the issue is that he parties too much. It's not that she needs to get a job. And then she was like, well, if I have to get a job, I want you to party less. Which is, like, it's not really the same. I mean, I understand, like, the idea of making sacrifices, but when one – and I understand, okay, so fine, she does feel like he goes out too much, so she wants to see more of him. But, like, I think, like, it's probably more imperative that she gets a job. Or gets, like, a life. Like, she has no life, okay? Yeah. Like, like, why don't you start doing some things, and then maybe he'll see if then maybe he'll see if it's worth changing his life for you. Yeah. Which I know sounds actually kind of like misogynist a little bit. Like, well, if she does, like, let's see if she get rises up to his standards. But kind of in this situation, as much as I hate to say it, I kind of think,
well, he is a fucking misogynist, and so is she. Like, they're both terrible people.
Yeah.
And this is my favorite part of the episode, because he goes, well, if I'm such a terrible person, she goes, if I'm such a terrible person, you're both right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the thing about
they're not hypotheticals.
Take out the if, okay? So he's like, maybe we should just call it quits, like you did with working. So next up is
like
Polo.
You did with conditioner.
Mm-hmm. Next up is Polo.
Yeah.
Let's go play some Polo, everybody. Let's play some Thomas Ravenel Polo, where he hits the ball, it goes into your womb, grows into a baby, and he locks you into a basement.
I can't even believe that Polo is even legal. Such a dangerous sport. Such a dangerous, beautiful sport. All the things I can't believe are legal are cocaine. I can't believe that. Oh, that's not legal. Got it. Got
also,
it.
Also, tuna fishing. Very dangerous.
I can't believe these tight pants are legal. I swear I'm about to bust right out of them. I should be put in jail for that.
So Seth arrives with Craig, and Craig's, you know, straightening out his capri pants or whatever. And Seth's like, Connors, don't you wear undershirts anymore? Is this a laundry issue? I'm like, you just poured ragu onto some meatballs, Ratsy.
And Craig's okay. Like, maybe. Well, I mean, but I get it, because Craig has recently gotten into wearing, like, outerwear with no shirt underneath, which is kind of, like, it's kind of annoying. It's like if you see someone in a hoodie with a no shirt underneath, you're like, unless you have a really good body, but, like, generally it looks a little weird.
Well, I also I'm like Catherine. Ignore that, because I've been showing up in sweaters without a shirt underneath.
Well, sweaters. Well, I'm not talking sweaters and sweatshirts. I'm talking like jackets or like pullovers. You know,
jackets. I love when people wear members only jackets with no shirt underneath. That shit's hilarious. Thank you, Hollywood, for everything you give us. By the way,
I also like Catherine and Danny getting ready, and Danny has this like outfit on, and there's like a red hat, and Catherine's like, are you going to wear that? And she's like, I can't. I was thinking about it, but I'm too much of a baby to do it. I can't do it. I can't wear the red hat. It's like the red hat. Oh, my goodness. Will you wear the red? Could you ever summon the courage to wear the red hat?
Oh, the South. So they're talking about how crazy it is that Catherine was invited to the prom or whatever, the ball.
Yeah.
And she goes, when I got the invite, I was like, am I getting served?
Yeah, and Shep basically we see a flashback of Shep sitting with Whitney and Patricia, and he's basically saying like, gosh, yeah, Catherine picked me up from surgery, she's doing really well. And Patricia just goes, huh.
She used the proper fork at dinner. Patricia's like,
Now, Shep, at what point are you going to describe the fact that you brought a crow into my house? Would you like some more butter poached shrimp, sir? Mm-hmm. Michael.
So next up, let's see here. Okay, so now we're at this Polo match. So I've got notes everywhere. So let me scroll them.
I'll let you get yourself oriented, because I can already tell you're in a tizzy. And
I'm not in a tizzy.
You're not in a tizzy?
I'm not in a tizzy. I'm just like, I just saw a wall of notes, and I was like, okay, here, be careful. You don't need to talk about the blades of grass and the marshland and how Thomas's pants fit. And which horse is that? Like, yeah. I have too many notes. Okay, so Thomas is getting on his horse. And the announcer goes, exciting day of polo here at the Brooklyn Plantation. It's Thomas Ravenel on a horse. I was like, this is the best person you could get.
I'll tell you, the one who really stole the show was the girl who kept him blowing the air horn. Like, every 2 minutes into this episode, they just cut to her. She's like, that was Gina.
Most exciting time of our lives. So Ashley gets there in leather pants and, like, slams the door behind her.
Yeah, she's wearing a black hat. Like, I'm angry. I'm mourning my relationship. And so Shep is like in the stand. There's like this like area where everyone's standing and watching, and Shep is in there like cheering on. He's like, T Rev, yeah, T Rev, and he's like, thank you. And Ash is standing right there. She's like, oh, he'll acknowledge you, but he won't acknowledge me. I'm like, you are such a messy bitch. Sorry. Like you had like a fun event and like you are like get like you are spreading all your issues to everyone while they're just trying to enjoy this stupid polo match. You gotta like get
she
it
really
together,
is actually. She really is a virus. My God. So she and she just says the same thing over and she won't stop talking.
Yeah.
You know? So she's just like, well, we pumped the brakes. We pumped the brakes a little. We pumped the brakes. We're having trouble. Happy. I have anxiety. And so, like, listen to my voice. It's because of anxiety. I want a future. You know what I mean? Happen. I don't want to waste time.
Like, I picked up my entire life to come over here. And, like, I don't know. Just pump the brakes. Just pump the brakes. Shep is like, I'm just trying to watch the game here. You know?
Yeah. Shep is like, your face is like a crayon. That's all I can say right now. She's got so much makeup on.
Oh, my
and
God.
And so she's like, I don't want to waste my time. And he goes, well, maybe that's what you should think about. And she goes, would you date me? Would you date me if I break up with Thomas? Would you? Would you date me? Would you date me?
He's like, So then JD shows up in a cowboy hat. Wah! And he's like, hey! And just looks like an idiot. Like, it's like your cowboy hat. You're a polo right now.
He's like, whoa, Ashley, look at Ashley.
Oh, JD, hi. JD, you look good. I look good. You want a date?
Did you pump you the brakes? I'm pumping the brakes with Thomas right now. You date me, right? Like, you date me, right? Right? You and Elizabeth are on the rocks, right? Okay, what about me?
That girl's offering herself around like poached shrimp and butter.
Michael's like, finally. So, so then Catherine and Danny show up, and Catherine's like, it's like, the memories. And Ashley's glaring at her from across the group, you know. And they're also sort of dressed the same, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, everyone's wearing weird. They have weird dressing, a weird dressing culture. It's like, okay, everybody, get on your felt hats. It's the plantation time. So, okay, so when did that become
a Bagger Vance-esque?
Yes.
So, yeah, and Ashley's like trying to watch the game. She's like, he isn't scoring. It's like, shut up. I wish I could say something wittier than that, but all I can really say is shut up. Go to Shut Up Mountain. Find if they, maybe you'll see if someone scores at Shut Up Mountain.
Wow, this is like the place where we lived. I walk these stairs. The smell of the barn and how the screen door slammed, it has not changed one bit. Oh my God, they still have my buzzer on. Ouch.
Like whenever she goes past the basement lines. It's like,
the invisible fence.
Yeah, I need to get this thing taken out of my neck. Oh, God damn.
So now Ashley is venting to JD. Like, she's now moved on to JD, and she's like, oh, well, you know, we're just pumping the brakes. Wah! And then Chelsea, meanwhile, is now talking to Naomi and Craig. Or Naomi. Well, they're all sort of in a group. And she's like, I want to know if you and Craig are going to go together. And Craig's like, well, if we do go together, then that means we're making a step towards getting back together. And initially, Naomi was like, oh, yeah, you know, I was thinking about asking you, Craig. And then as soon as he says that, she's like, oh, definitely not. No. Definitely not going.
She's like, he's right. And trust me, that's the first time I've ever said that. Okay. And then it goes back to what's her bun still talking to JD, and she's like, oh my God, oh my God. And then like I talk to his dad every day, and like his dad's like, you're still around.
I just had that stick-to-itiveness. Also importantly with Craig and the ball is that Austin is like to us, he's like, dude, this is like the easiest like lie to avoid. You didn't have to lie. Like, basically Craig is taking that girl, the new girl, the Chris the girl, he's taking her to the ball, but he's not telling Naomi. And Austin basically is saying, like, dude, like, you should be telling her now instead of acting like maybe you might take Naomi also.
Yeah, well, Craig is just trying to make sure he's not going to get dumped before the ball comes.
That's true too.
So then Austin's like, well, I mean, I understand how you feel, bro, because look, we're just the same. He's like, we're a little bit different, okay? We were about to get married. Oh, Chelsea's the one who was saying that. Like, well, I understand what it's like. And he's like, no, you don't. We're about to get married, okay? Do you know what it's like to lose a gizmo? She's like, I guess not.
I guess not. She's just crying.
She's like, why am I crying?
Why am I crying right now? Yeah, I would give you a handkerchief, but my hand is in an archaic device that prevents me from reaching into my pocket.
And Naomi's like, you're fucking idiot.
So now they're serving oysters and cocktails at the main house because the match is over. So they all sort of, move over there, and Catherine's at peace at the plantation now. And so now Thomas sits down with JD and Craig, and it's like, cheers. And now they start talking about Ashley, and Thomas is like, well, she gets mad about X, Y, and Z. And I said, look, I mean, I just bought you $20,000 worth of clothes, so... And you know what? Like, you know, he knows what role he's playing in this relationship, okay? He knows what role he's playing, okay? So he doesn't get a pass here. But before, when we're talking about, like, okay, he should stop partying as much, and she should get a job. He's buying you $20,000 worth of clothing, and it's not like, oh, because he bought it, you have to do what he says. But, like, maybe just, like, try to, like, do, like, get a job. Like, try to, like he's spending, like, a huge amount of money on you, and which is not necessarily the same as giving, like, an emotional investment. But, like, at least try to be like, you know what, like, at least, you know, in return I can do something in life.
Yeah, they're just so both terrible. I just can't. Both of you drive off into the sunset, okay? Like,
yeah, just go away. And, like, if they're in a relationship, and if she feels like he's partying too much, like, he really should, like, maybe consider how, like, rethink how he spends his time. Doesn't have to stop partying, but, like, spend more time with her or bring her along or whatever. Or she just has to know that he's a partier, and that's just what it is. But the point is this. Like, I think that $20,000 in clothing, that is, like, so much money.
Well, he's making it much bigger now, because wasn't it $10,000? I mean, that's still a lot, but he's doubling the price, okay?
But that was $10,000 in that one shopping trip, but you know it's not the only shopping trip. He's got bracelets. I don't know. He spent a lot of money, and it sounds off. I even hear my words, and it almost sounds so old-fashioned. Like, well, he spent a lot of money, so she has to do this or that. Like, no one has to do anything because it's a gift, right? But it's like, what is she bringing to the relationship?
Oh, God, what does he bring? Nothing.
Money's well, he's not bringing at least dresses. At least dresses,
ugh,
you know?
They're both gross.
I'm not really defending him. I'm more like...
He's using her because she's a hot piece of ass that'll go after Catherine on national TV, and she's using him for his money. They're both whores.
Yes, yes, 100%.
And they can both suck TikTok's dick, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, okay. She may already have. But I guess it's not so much that I'm defending Thomas. It's more like I'm just sort of attacking her and saying, like, seriously, though, like, get a job. Like, get some friends. Like be a gold digger, but also, like, you can also have a life.
Yeah.
Be a well-rounded gold digger.
Good luck with that. Yeah. With that advice getting across. And then you've got JD sitting there. He goes, what's up, boss?
So apparently Ashley went to Craig and told Craig, like, hey, if you were a few years older, I would totally be dating you instead. Which is... I actually don't believe that. I don't think...
I do. Like, I totally believe it. I think she went to every man in the cast because she's trying to stay on the show at this point.
Well, no, I don't believe it for the reasons that he believes it, which is like, what is that? Like, she's saying that, like, in a few years I'll be established and wealthy, and therefore, like, she'll want to date me. I'm like, no, you will not be established and wealthy in a few years.
Yeah. But she is definitely saying, instead of if you were a few years older, she's saying, if you had actual money, you know, I could be with you instead. And JD's like, well, who goes into a relationship with a backup plan? Wow. I'm like, well, I bet Liz wished she did.
Yeah.
She had.
And Craig's like, yeah, like, in the beginning with Naomi, I'd come home and see her car parked in the driveway, and I'd be like, oh my God, I'd be so excited. And then, like, but if you see that car and your heart sinks, like, that's bad. So, like, do you still hope to see her in your driveway?
I know. I love that that's the big romantic thing. That was also on the Good Fight finale, for anybody who watches that. It's that whole saying of you're happy if you get home and you see your mate's car in the park, in the driveway, and you're actually happy that it's there instead of annoyed. Then that's how you know that's your person. But, girl, I drive into Ross Dress for Less, and I'm happy to see every car there. And I think that just means I'm a whore.
We like cars.
Thanks, guys, for driving that home.
Yeah. And Thomas just goes, well, you know what? I'm smart enough to not look at the sky when I'm walking through a cow field. Which I thought was funny, but I didn't really understand how it addressed the situation.
Yeah, I don't either. And JD's like, yeah, because you'll step in poop.
Like, yeah, thanks, JD.
And then JD goes, so are you looking up or are you looking at the cow field? And then Thomas is staring at Ashley. I'm like, okay, the cow field.
I guess the idea is that like if you have your head in the clouds, if you're not paying attention, you could step in a big old pile of shit, and he may not be paying attention to his the fact that he's stepping in. He already has stepped in the shit. Like he's been in the cow field for a while.
Yes. He is the cow field, okay? He's the shit you step in.
He is basically like a piece of shit, and then it got windy, and so the shit rolled over onto another piece of shit.
He's that dried kind of shit with a fupa. Okay, so Catherine and Thomas are talking, and she's like, great gathering, great job. And he's like, well, you hung some arms, I heard. Good for you, Catherine. And so Ashley is now talking to just some random lady.
Random lady.
It is hilarious. And this poor lady is just like, get me out of here. She's like, well, you know, like we decided to pump the brakes. And like, listen to me. This is my voice. Like I pump the brakes. Oh, hair flick, hair flick, hair flick, hair flick. I have to respect Thomas because he goes for women who are opinionated. And I have opinions right now. Oh my God, she's talking to Thomas. Isn't she scary? Isn't she scary?
Look, I'm an alpha female. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God. Meanwhile, Shep is shucking an oyster. He's like, oh man, look at that. Gosh. Hey, oh, Crow just took it.
I'll still eat it.
And Jealousy's like, somebody didn't eat their food. That's a sin. Which I don't really have anything to say about. I just thought it was funny that she cared enough that someone didn't eat their food. She's like, gotta protect Mother Earth, Gaia.
If only they had a shot of that romantic fish sauce to go with it.
Can't believe someone left over all these poached shrimp and butter sauce.
So Thomas and Catherine are talking, and she's like, how are you? And he's like, well, my relationship is a bit stressful. I'm like, oh, jeez. Well, here we go with Thomas's victim-y thing. He's like, I haven't had success in my personal life. I let people get the mayhem's best of me. They drive me from point A over here with these mayor hands to point B, which is right here in the center where my fingers are slightly touching each other, to over here, point C, where my hands were apart inexplicably, describing something no one will understand. Do you know what I'm saying?
You can fool some people sometimes, but you can't fool all the people all the times. So get up, stand up. Am I right? Stand up for your rights, Catherine.
His quotes are off the charts in this episode.
They
wow.
really were. I said Thomas is quoting quotes. He's just doing quotes.
Yeah, everybody else is leaving, you know, and then Wilson, the gay, is jumping all over Austin. He's like, stop flirting with me, Wilson. And then Ashley's like, well, is anybody going inside, pumping the brakes?
I'm going inside. I'm overwhelmed. I'm a little just overwhelmed. I'm going inside. And then she goes inside. She's like, hello, am I the only lizard in this house? Mm. Oh, I guess I'm alone.
Yeah. So then outside again,
you just hear Thomas like the sound of like footsteps as everyone's like running to the back door, like, get out.
So outside, Thomas is just mangling literature. He's like, to thine own self true. Like, okay, you've already failed that one, buddy.
It was the best of times, it was the better of times.
Que sera, sera. I dated her once. She was a real bitch.
To be or to beaver.
And as night passes day, that count not be false to another. I don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about. Thankfully, you don't either, Catherine. So just all listen to my big words.
All the world's a stage and all the men and women merely players. They have their entrances and their exits and their girlfriends who don't get their jobs. Wondering when that's going to happen.
And Catherine's like, hey, Shakespeare, so now that you're dating her, do you think I'm less psycho?
So basically, they just have a dumb conversation about whatever. And then Thomas comes inside, and he sits down with Ashley, and she's like, so, how is your conversation with Catherine? And he's like, well, I don't even remember what he said. What did he say?
He goes, good, nice, peaceful. She's like, well, I didn't even get to say bye to half the people who were here. It's like, yeah, because they ran from you like the fucking cow patty you are, okay?
Yeah.
She's like, well, I had some combos with Shep and JD, and it was good. I mean,
they won't commit to being my boyfriends yet, but otherwise, like, I don't know. So,
but they're all like, everyone's like, how's it going? How's your relationship? I'm like, I guarantee not a single person asked that. Not a single person.
Yeah. Nobody asked that. Who says that? How's your relationship?
Yeah.
She's like, you know, it's weird because everybody out there suggests that I get my brakes checked. This is odd.
It's weird because, like, I keep getting rear-ended because I keep bumping my brakes so much. I was told that I got arrested. Someone thought I was trying to do a gang initiation, but I was just pumping brakes. She's like, you know, and, like, they're asking, and, you know, I can't pretend like it's wonderful, but I wanted to get better. I mean, brakes and all. I mean, pumping the brakes. And then I drove through another puddle and I was like, God, got to pump the brakes again.
I just don't know what else to do. Pump the brake, pump the brake. Ow, ow, my neck. Ow, my neck. God, and I knew that was coming. I pumped it myself.
And he's like, this is not what I want. I have to be true to myself. I'm a man whore who likes to celebrate the presence of many different women, like Eliza Limehouse, who I haven't even seen since you came into my life.
I need a woman with a bridge named after her. That's what I'm saying. Okay. He's already told her what he wants her to do. And she's like, I just don't know how to fix it. And he's already said it 20 times in this episode.
Yeah.
So he's like, if I can't be true to myself and you can't be true to yourself. And she's like, but like, and it's the Ashley monologue, which is just so cracked out and crazy.
Yes.
It's like, if it ever ends right now, I do it over because I learned so much about me, Kyle. No regrets. You were there for a reason. And I don't know what I do. I don't want to throw in the towel. I've invested so much and I love you so much and I have to fit in, but it's okay. I won't say I walked away and I tried. So give me that opportunity to say I tried, Kyle. I tried, Kyle.
It is so over the top and dramatic. Like, I tried my best. You didn't try. He's literally telling you the one thing he wants. He just wants you to get a job so that we can get some friends and, like, and some money and, like, stop being so crazy all the time and you guys can get back to, like, having normal sex instead of hate sex.
Yeah. And by the way, they showed a clip earlier in the show of when Catherine was trapped in that plantation and she's like cleaning the baby and like changing the diaper and Thomas is just sitting at the table going, dinner's supposed to be ready.
I know, what a prick.
I'm trying, babe. Like, ugh. It makes me crazy that on this channel, well, actually every channel, girls are fighting over these pigs.
It makes me so sad about our society that like we somehow are it's the nature versus nurture, whatever, that we are like socializing women to fight over these douchebags, these lame-ass guys. It's terrible.
Next time, Instagram says Ashley's a high-end escort.
Yeah. So, the season finale looks so good. That preview felt like it was like 10 minutes long because it's just like everyone. Naomi was hilarious in it. She was just like full bitch mode. She's angry at Craig, angry at gloves, angry at everything. Catherine and Ashley. Ashley says some things that are so nasty. I cannot wait because we're going to be picking this apart in Kansas City. And just when Ashley says you're nothing but an egg donor, I cannot wait to hear the jeers and the boos and hisses from the audience. It is going to be not at us, of course. Not at us, of course not. Don't you dare even throw a bologna sandwich at us. It'll be amazing.
Yep.
And we're not doing Crabbit's mailbag today because I full on forgot to post it. So. I'm going to post it and we'll get some new questions for everyone for the next time around.
Yeah, everybody, we sure love you. We will talk to you next week.
Yeah, bye, everyone.
Bye.